Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 462, entitled Debating AI's Impact with Jamie Marsland, Content Creativity, Slop, and the Future of WordPress. It was published on Thursday, the 26th of March, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we begin the episode with Jamie, just a few short bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do at WP Builds and you want to find out more, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. If you follow us on any of those channels, thank you for that. There's X, there's Mastodon, there's Blue Sky, there's YouTube, all of those kind of things. But the best thing would be to put your email address into one of those boxes and click send. And then I will send you 2 emails a week. There is a no spam guarantee. Well, unless, of course, getting notified about WP Builds podcast content would be regarded as spam, in which case don't go to that form and fill it out. That would be ridiculous. What we'll do, though, is we'll send you 2 emails a week. One when we produce this, the podcast episode. That comes out on a Thursday, and we'll send you an email to let you know that's happened. Also, we'll send you an email to say when the This Week in WordPress show has come out. We record that Monday, 2 p.m. UK time live. Please come and join us. You can join us at wpbuilds.com/live, and then we'll repackage that, send that out as a podcast episode on a Tuesday, and you'll get an email about that as well. The best thing to do, of course, if you like podcasting, would be to go to your podcast player of choice, search for WP Builds, and click any button that you can find, which allows you to follow us. It might be a follow button, a subscribe button, I don't know, each platform is different, but click that button, and we will be in your feed twice a week in the way that I've just described. The other thing to mention is that if you have a product or service in the WordPress space and you want to get the message out about it, we have a WordPress specific audience, so why not use it? wpbuilds.com/advertise, and we will have a conversation with you about what kind of marketing we can do to help you get some discoverability. wpbuilds.com/advertise, or just send me an email, admin@wpbuilds.com. Okie dokie, what have we got for you today? Well, this is a bit of a departure. Today I am having a debate. I don't think I've had a debate before. Maybe I have, I can't remember. But I'm talking to Jamie Marsland. Jamie has an enormous YouTube channel. He's the head of YouTube for Automattic, so he's very influential in the WordPress space. And he has a proclivity for using AI. He's been doing absolutely loads with it. It's very credible, all the things that he's been doing. But we decided to have a debate because I'm a bit more on the Luddite curmudgeonly side. And so I thought I would take on the role of the curmudgeon, and I would try to persuade him that we need to slow down, put on the brakes, stop using AI for every single thing. And so you'll have to make of it what you will. Perhaps you regard my arguments as the way forward. Perhaps you think he's got the right track. I don't really know who wins this debate. Well, I kind of do, and it's not Jamie. But anyway, you go decide for yourself. It was very fun recording it, and I hope that you enjoy it. I'm joined on the podcast again, by Jamie Marsland. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, it's been a while, so hello.
It's okay. It's fine. It doesn't matter how many times you come on. I'm more than happy to have you. Yeah. We're going to have an interesting chat today because Jamie and I are going to take opposite sides of an argument, which I've never done before. I've never set out at the beginning of a podcast to be a protagonist in one way, shape or form. But we're going to have the AI debate. It may stretch well beyond WordPress. I've got a feeling that the discussion that we're going to have is going to stray out into just wider societal things. But AI is the debate. Jamie has been using AI for ages. But tell us, just before we begin, just tell us about who you are in case anybody doesn't know.
Okay, I'm Jamie Marsland. I work for Automattic as head of YouTube. And I have my own YouTube channel as well, which you can find me at JamieWP, where I have loads of tutorials around WordPress. I've got about 211,000 subscribers. And you can find, I don't know why I'm promoting my socials.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, yeah. You've got 11,001 now.
You can find me on X at Poodle Press. Okay. And I'm steeped in WordPress, but I've been playing with AI a lot over the last year.
Oh, you playing with AI a lot. I remember, this goes back quite a while. So you'd been playing with AI. You were one of the first people, I think, that I spotted in the WordPress space that was creating content around AI. So it wasn't as soon as AI sort of came onto the market, but it was as soon as some of these tools came out, which many of them may have gone out of existence, I don't know at this point. But you and I were both at WordCamp Asia. You'd been playing around with things, and we got into this conversation at this social thing at the end of the evening, and I came up with this idea of this thing that I thought, let's see if you can build this. And then I remember waking up the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
And you sent me a message at some point during the night. And you'd gone back to your hotel and basically built what in the past, prior to AI, probably would have taken a team days, dare I say it, weeks to build. And you'd thrown this thing together. And, you know, it was just a fun project. It wasn't supposed to sort of go on and do anything, but it was around capturing photographs and things like that. But the point was, you went home, did something impressive all by yourself, and out it came. And I remember thinking, okay, he's probably onto something. However, a lot of water has gone under the bridge now. And so during this episode, I'm going to lean into the doomer on the AI side of things. For every positive thing that you come out with, I'm going to try and kill it with a negative.
You're not going to be able to do that because I've got some good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'll have to react in that case. But the point is, this episode is not a normal one. I'm going to sort of try to encourage the conversation to develop. But at the same time, I'm going to try and portray maybe the other side. I am not actually against it, but I think there's a bit of me which is slightly concerned, but I'm going to lean into that. So caveat emptor, dear listener. What I say in the next half an hour or so is not probably what I actually think. So there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us where we're at then, Jamie. The month is February 2026.
Yeah.
You, before we started the call, said you'd had a bit of an epiphany last night. Tell us about that.
So last week, WordPress.com did a partnership with Claude. And so now you can go on to Claude and search for a connector. And one of those connectors is WordPress.com. And if you connect your WordPress.com website to Claude, you can now chat to your WordPress site using Claude, the desktop version. Now, the really pivotal bit, the kind of eureka moment for me is it understands the entire context of your website. And that's a really key thing. So it doesn't just let you create content or write content. It sees you. It sees your entire website. And so it knows your entire website. So I've only been playing with it for a few hours, but I've done some cool stuff with it. And actually, before this, we were chatting about some of the stuff you think we could do with it, which was better than mine. But I did the classic stuff. Like, I one-shotted a landing page, but it didn't just create a landing page. It knew my website design. So it created that landing page in the style of my website. It was just...
What if we don't have any existing content? What if we're just starting?
Well, then you've got to tell it what to do. And you could upload an image, you can talk to it. It's a really good sort of co-designer. And I also do things like, I did a few other things. I said, right, from my website, extract a brand guidelines and send it to my agency. And within about 5 minutes, it had created this beautiful brand guidelines document that I could send to an agency to go off and create me some more collateral. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And then I said, analyze my competitor. I put in a competitor. And I said, analyze their website, compare it to my website, come up with an SEO plan. Oh, and also create 5 posts. And it went and did it. That was interesting. And then the final thing I said is that I said, do a gap analysis on my website and a competitor's website. Not an SEO analysis, but it's just gap analysis. Go and do that. And it came back and gave me some great recommendations for how I could improve my website. So it's no longer just a tool that you can use to create some nice content. It's like a strategic partner that sees and understands the soul of your website. And that was just like 2 hours I was just playing with this, thinking about, you know, what I could do with it.
So
the big change is the context. Yeah, it understands the full stack.
Is that context the brand new bit then? So the context is the bit that, let's say, a week ago before that came out, that was just something you couldn't do. You would tell it to create a piece of content and it would do that in isolation.
Yeah.
And okay. So
you could give it context.
Yeah.
Like you could upload. Right. You could do that. but this just knows context. So okay. it's just like having a designer that's worked, and it was actually talking to me saying, oh, we built the site together, so I know what it is and I know your thought. And at one point I said, because I was building like this yoga website, and I said, I want to run a yoga retreat. And it kind of knew the tone of voice of my website. And the landing page wasn't just a design. It was in the tone of voice of my website. It was, that's astonishing.
Can I just be clear? I don't think you said what I think you said. Did you just say a Yoda retreat, like the character from Star Wars?
Yeah, they're very... No, a yoga.
Oh, yoga, yoga retreat. Of course. Yeah, that's so obvious now. Okay, a yoga retreat, yes.
If you've got two choices and you're going Yoda or yoga...
Well, to be honest with you,
it's fascinating how you went to... How you went to Yoda. Oh, that's the obvious choice.
Okay, so here we go. In terms of the content, right? So forget all of the context and all of that wonderful stuff around here. So here's my first sort of slightly confrontational thing. Who's reading this content, Jamie? Honestly?
Yeah. Well, my wife has a yoga business.
I'm she hearing it again, but I know now.
Yoga? Good ease. Yeah.
No, but seriously. The interesting thing that you said there, and I think you said five pieces of content. Okay, we're five pieces of content. Let's multiply that number because there's no difference, presumably. Maybe there's a dollar difference or a cent difference or whatever it may be in creating 100 pieces of content. We were already, the landscape was flooded. Nobody had time to read anything anyway. There's already too much content out there already. Is this just not a race to the bottom? The idea that you can create content with AI and just keep pushing it out and it will be discovered. Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, another AI might get more context out of it, and that's wonderful. Then you can create more content. But the actual enterprise of the internet, presumably, is to allow humans with actual eyeballs to go out, read the stuff, get something decent out of it, and then react.
Yeah. Well, I would let me hone in on just the landing page for the yoga retreat. My wife is actually running a yoga retreat in Portugal in May. Nice. Go to rosyglow.co.uk to find out more information. There's two spaces left.
Yeah, I smuggled that in. Nice.
And so she does have a, you know, if she creates a really, really beautiful landing page that's going to convert, and she's going to email her customers around this landing page, then it's, you know, that has a fundamental uplift in her business. That's fantastic, isn't it? I would have thought that's a fairly clear cut. And I see
you've missed the bit that I was talking about, which was the landing page. Yes, I accept that. It's more the 15 blog posts, the 100 blog posts, the 2,000 blog posts. And if we're if everybody is in the same business of creating 2,000 blog posts and then the next 2,000, yada yada yada, we can see that in a year's time we've shattered our attention so much. There's so much content out there.
But you're not going to read all those blog posts, are you?
No.
You're going to read the best ones. I mean, when I go into a bookshop, I always get a little bit sad that I realise I'm never going to be able to read all these books.
Yeah.
But we don't have a scarcity of books. We have too many books. So, you know, we only have 24 hours a day. We only have so much time to read stuff. There is already many times more information that we can possibly consume. So my argument would be the good stuff will always come to the top. So if you're creating bad AI slop, nobody's going to read it.
How?
But if you're using the tools to create better writing or better images or better storytelling, then, you know, it's just a tool. It's just a tool. And there's no question you can create lots of terrible content with it. But we've had terrible content for a long time. We have lots of terrible books.
Oh.
We have loads of terrible films.
I've been doing loads bad of terrible content for years now.
You're a great case study.
Exactly. No, seriously though. So, okay, I'm gonna wind up the windows a little bit and be less confrontational about this bit. Because I don't really use AI to create content, because obviously you and I were having a chat. This is the content. It's two, three humans having a chat. How good is it now with the context? So if I was to go and use the exact same setup that you mentioned, the .com connected to Claude, and I would ask it to create, let's say, three blog posts, in all seriousness, how impressive are they these days? Because I'm getting the feeling that as each week goes by, the capacity to distinguish what the human might have written opposed to what the AI might have written is getting less and less.
I just view it as a tool. If you one prompt it, it's going to be AI slop.
Right.
But if you have interesting thoughts and you've thought about the world and you thought about people and you talk to the AI like it's a co-writer and you're intellectually curious, and it can take some of the grunt work away from you, then I think it can write really well. But there's loads of really good AI writing, but there's much more terrible AI writing.
Yeah,
it's just a tool at the end of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, really. I guess my sort of query is, and I honestly don't know what the search engine. Let's assume that the search engines are still the main method that many people are actually getting to content. I don't know what the flags are for them in terms of. Let's say that they spot that a website is producing a piece of content each day. I just don't know what the heuristics are that they gather to figure out this one is good, this one is poor. You know, they're both 2,000 words. They're both written in English. They both sound plausible.
Yeah.
But one, if a human was to read it, is just obvious junk. And one, if a human was to read it, is, you know, just really profoundly thoughtful and clever and what have you. I just don't know how the AI is.
It'll be the traditional stuff, right? If people read it and share it, then the algorithm will recognize that. You know, we're just coming off an industry, which is the affiliate industry, where people were just creating, you know, which WordPress grew off to a large extent in terms of blogging, some of the stuff, like where people were just creating, they were looking at content gaps in the algorithm and just piling out content, which was basically the equivalent of AI slop. So it's not like we're coming from not a lot's changed. We're not like coming from a nirvana of amazing content over the last 15 years. A lot of the content that's been produced proportionally has been because they want to rank in search engines. And, you know, it's like, where can I buy this? Which is the top 5 plastic bottles in the UK? You know, that kind of content.
So yeah.
You know, it's not like this stuff is new, but good writing is always has a premium. I don't think that's changed.
Really. Do you see, like, I can see this, and I think I'm kind of longing for this in a way. I'm kind of longing for a badge of authenticity to be on a website. And so for example, I love reading newspapers online because I know that a human being wrote that content and went out and did all of the different bits and pieces. But I love going back and reading blogs from people that I historically knew because I'm pretty sure that they're still writing it. I just don't know if we're heading into that future where being an authentic voice and proving in some way, shape or form that you sat and you did the writing might be something that people are interested in. Knowing that I've got a badge, that badge proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that I actually wrote this as opposed to AI.
So a few thoughts on that. Great question. One is, I have seen where people have put at the bottom of their posts, I used like ChatGPT to scaffold this, but I wrote it. Uh-huh. I've seen some of that stuff, which is quite...
Oh, that's interesting. Quite an interesting one. Okay, yeah.
But then another question I'd put back to you is, there's two bits to writing, in my view. There's the thinking, very important. Yeah, you have to learn to think to be a good writer. And then there's the actual drudgery of writing. So in one sense... If you're doing the thinking and AI is doing the writing, that's my question to you, is that so wrong? If you've put in all the hard work, which is like the thinking around the subject, coming up with the ideas, the intellectual curiosity of diving into this thing, and then you use AI actually just to surface some of your thoughts, do you have a problem with that?
Well, it's interesting because you parse that as the goal is to write. So that's the goal. And then you sort of undermine yourself a little bit by saying the drudgery of writing. So if the goal is to write, but you don't like writing, don't write.
Well, no, I like thinking.
Ah, well then think.
For the people that like thinking, but not necessarily the writing. Is it analogous to somebody that wants to make a film, but doesn't want to hire a film crew? And doesn't want to go and get
yes, I do. I totally get your point. I see what you mean. So, you know, the sort of difficult bit of actually putting, you know, the ideation, I suppose, is the interesting. I kind of lump myself into that category. I know what you mean. So,
yeah,
I love thinking, but the whole blank page and the fact that it takes an hour to write, let's say, I don't know, 1,500 words or something like that.
Yeah.
It's the thing which annoys me is the amount of time and the amount of error I make. Totally get what you mean. The capacity to come up with the idea, but just distill it into 12 seconds, not 4 hours, is really compelling, isn't it?
And it might unlock a whole bunch of people like you. Like, I'd like to know what's in your brain some of the time, not all the time. But if this unlocks some of, you know, unlocks that you can get your creative thoughts out there in the way that you want, without the pain of going through some of that writing process, I think I'm okay. And I do have moments when I'm not okay with this, but I think I'm okay with that. I think that's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose at the end, the capacity to write is of interest to me for my stuff, and the capacity for you to write is of interest to you for your stuff. But the ultimate ambition of writing online, I mean, if we were just writing for our own curiosity, I'd pick up a pen and I'd write on a pad, and that pad would probably gather dust in a corner. But presumably the endeavor here is to produce it so that other people can read it. And I feel like we're smuggling in a bit of a little moment of disingenuity here, in that if you are proclaiming that this is your thought, it's kind of your thought. But it's also a bit like me saying to my brother, who's really good at writing — he's not, but let's pretend he is — I said to my brother, this is what I want to write, will you now write it for me, but I'll claim it's mine.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird, you know. I mean, I know we got this whole ghostwriting industry and what have you, but we all know that that's part of that whole thing. But you know, you are sort of claiming ownership for something that you actually didn't do. You may have had the initial thought. You had that, you know, you were the thing that put the crystal in the Petri dish and boom, off it went. But you didn't do the writing. Some other creature in the universe did the writing. But we claim ownership. And if we're claiming ownership, we have to, I don't know, I think there's something in the artistry. There's something in the difficulty of things. There's overcoming that burden. There's learning the art. I mean, I know you play the guitar, right? Part of the process of learning to play the guitar was the boring learning the chords, doing the scales, turning up for the gig, sounding crap, but getting better over time. It's a journey, not a destination sort of thing.
But I don't think you can be a good writer with AI unless you've done the hard work.
Yeah.
In fact, I know you can't.
Mm.
And I don't, when I play the guitar, I haven't made the guitar. I'm not making the noise. It's going through electronics and an amplifier.
No, but you're not making a claim to be a guitar. You're making a claim to be a guitarist.
I am. Well, I'm not even doing that.
But if you're making a claim to be a writer and you're not writing...
I'm not sure I am making a claim to be a writer.
No, I don't
mean
you.
Stuff.
I'm not singling you out.
But when if I am writing with AI, I'm not claiming to be a writer. I'm trying to present my thoughts in the best way possible on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And the finished result is, you know, and I find it very good for also... the journey bit, when you said about learning the guitar, I do find it very useful in terms of helping me discuss it with AI and to actually collect my thoughts. And I find it helping the thinking process. So it's not it's not a click button process. It's a very collaborative process with AI where it's actually helping me discuss stuff. And
do you know what? I think maybe that's the bit that worries me, is that it becomes a click button process. And the default is to click the button, get it to write the thing, and then just click publish without the human sort of getting in and reading every word, or at the best skimming it. I suppose is the bit that bothers me. Yeah, maybe.
But that's here, and you'll just create people. Nobody will read that, in my view. That's not interesting because it hasn't had the work. The work is in the thought, and I was thinking about this morning in terms of AI video, which is blowing up on. At the moment with Seed Dance, whatever it's called, and the new model's coming out. And actually, it's like if you go to Pixar and look at how much effort they put into script writing and the love that they put into that process, you can't shortcut that stuff. And that's where the value will be. It won't be in pressing a button and creating a video of a cat that's fighting a dinosaur. That's fine.
I actually want that video so bad.
Me too. But that's where the human pathos and understanding the world and the work goes in. And that's my view anyway.
The people
that will be successful are the people that put the hard work in, the foundational stuff like understanding storytelling or understanding their customers or all that stuff that AI doesn't. It can help you, but if you just press a button, you'll just get the same as everyone else.
So, do you know, it's so interesting in that, obviously, you know, rewind the clock 10 years, we wouldn't have even been, like, this conversation just wasn't even on the table. It would have been the realm of Star Trek. And yet here we are. But I suppose the bit that like everything you've just said is true, in that if you curate and you finesse your art form and you become really good at it, the intention is that you rise to the top and all the AI slop falls to the bottom. That works in a scenario in which you get discovered and then people coalesce to you. But I suppose in a landscape where there's a trillion pieces of content being created every day, that discovery bit is also getting undermined, presumably, because it just becomes harder for you to get that first leg on the ladder, the first rung on the ladder, because you've got to compete against the trillion other bits. And, you know, that's, I think, part of the thing as well.
But I'd push back on that a bit. Like, when we were growing up, Nathan, how would we have got discovered? We would have, you know, if we wanted to start a business back in the day... I mean, in my view, there's never been a better time to be discovered.
Yeah.
They've got all these incredible tools. They've literally got a network where they can talk to pretty much, like, there was that piece that came out yesterday, the AI, I don't know if you read it, the long piece around AI. I think it's been viewed 70 million times now.
In a day.
In a day. In one day.
Yeah.
So we have distribution, and human beings are really good at filtering.
Okay.
We are really good at filtering. So I get the kind of concerns over there's going to be one AI and it's going to control everything. But generally humans we sniff out the good stuff. We always have done.
Yeah.
And we've had a surfeit of content for so long. You know, 50 channels, go to a bookshop, all the books you can read on Amazon, Spotify. And yet we do filter. We talk to each other and we filter and we find ways to find the good stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's the bit. Maybe that's the bit.
Changes.
Yeah, the real world interactions and the suggestions from friends and what have you.
Yeah.
By the way, I still want that cat and dinosaur video. So if you just whip that up, that would be good. despite the fact you don't think it, I want it really badly. Can we move on then? So that was all about content, and it felt like we dwelled upon writing, so words on a screen and what have you. But obviously,
I think you just to summarise that, you agree with me now. I think on that, you've changed your mind.
No, not at all. But I'm being
fully on board with my. That's what we should have a scoreboard 1-0.
Yeah, thanks.
Move on.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take the win any day. You never specified who'd won. I'll tell you what we'll do at the end of this episode: run it through an AI and give it a scoring metric. See who wins.
On that note, quickly, I came up with a brilliant idea for an app. Which, if anyone wants to send me some VC money, because it and the idea of the app is that I don't know if I told you about this one, but I think it's genius that. You log every argument that you have with your partner, and then you
dangerous.
Get then you get the wisdom of the crowd to vote on who won it.
Oh, this is, I think you should buy divorce.com. it's a great,
like,
the problem is
I loaded the dishwasher slightly wrong.
The problem is your wife also has exactly the same intuitions. I've often wanted that have you ever wanted that sort of thing that you would attach somewhere to your clothing which records, because you know as a moral certainty that the thing that you said was what you said, yes. And then you get into a room of people who heard what you said and they say back to you, no, you did not say that, you said the exact opposite, and you think, oh, how did my brain get that so wrong?
Well, funny you should say that, because I've got quite a few doctor friends, and there's a thing that's they're trying to bring in at the moment with healthcare, which is called ambient AI, I think it is.
Okay.
And basically it listens to all the conversations that doctors have with their patients, and it writes up all their notes automatically for them. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good use case.
It is a good use case, until you find out that that some venture capitalist has massive stakes in, you know, and you think, actually, their politics is slightly different to mine and what have you. No, that's not a good use case. If I knew that, I want that written in big red letters on the door when I go in to the doctors, because I want to say to the doctor, no, I'm going to talk to you. And if you just pick up that pen when I leave, you could just summarize it in a few moments, couldn't you? You don't need an AI.
That's easy to say, but it's never happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the... we need to move on.
God, I'm loving this.
I was going to say, I don't know if you saw the... Because it's on a similar note. There was the... I don't know if you saw the Ring... I think it might have been a Super Bowl ad that got parodied yesterday.
Like how much of a PR snafu did that look like? Like it was presented. So if I parse this correctly, what they were basically saying is, we've got this product which will spy on your entire street. Yes. But if you lose your dog, isn't it great that we're spying on your entire street? That's so great. And everybody else thinks, wait, you're spying on our entire street. That's such a profound misunderstanding.
And
nobody in the
product marketing team went, hold on, there's a, that might raise alarm bells.
Did you also see, though, this is sort of straying into some other area, but did you also see that the US law enforcement was recent? I can't remember the context of this, but they were able to get something out of one of the doorbell cameras, and yet the camera had been set up to not record. I can't remember if it was Ring or something. We should probably look back at that. But there was a the person whose data was exfiltrated from that by law enforcement had got it set up to do the exact opposite of what it was doing. And so there was this sort of intuition that, oh, maybe these doorbell cameras are kind of capturing information, even when they're set to not capture information.
That's
scary,
isn't it?
Moving on.
Yeah.
So that was all about written word. And and okay, we'll go with 1-0 to Wrigley. Jamie's smiling.
I'm going to be the judge of that.
Yeah, but let's move on to like pixels on a page, and let's move into the sort of like the website and the look and feel and all of that kind of stuff. Did you get the same intuition from this recent Claude thing that you looked at in the last week? Same sort of warm and fuzzy feeling that it was going to be able to not just write content, but it was going to be able to make credible websites.
Yes, for the first time, it felt like this is comparable, because I've been using a lot of vibe coding tools over the last year and a half, like Lovable and Replit and Bolt.
Yeah, you've been through them all, right? You've really
a lot of them.
The whole gamut.
And Cursor for different use cases, really. And it was the first moment when I felt, oh, this is actually, this is on a par. This is comparable. WordPress is going to be, which I kind of felt for a while, because as the models are getting so good that actually they can understand the whole stack. And once they do that, then WordPress has kind of lagged behind, because it has more complexity. Mm-hmm. It's dealing with blocks, and it's dealing with WordPress, and it's dealing with legacy, whereas these other tools are just spurting out kind of HTML. And so it's not so easy to do in WordPress. It's more complex. Whereas now it feels like the models have got so good, they kind of understand WordPress and understand the block editor, and they can, we're kind of there. So the baseline is, it was the first moment where I felt, oh, we're going to be okay in terms of the front end design experience is kind of joyous.
So it was able to like hook into almost everything that WordPress has to offer. So the variety of core blocks and things like that.
There were some rough edges, but as a one-shot experience, it was genuinely quite exciting. Moment of this is amazing. And I told it to add pages, change my menu and stuff like that, and it was kind of doing it
able to
nicely.
Do all those kind of things. So it had not just context about the content that you created, but context about like where the menus are and how to create pages and delete users and publish things at certain times of the day and things like that.
With the specific application, the WordPress.app application, we've kind of throttled it to certain things, so it can't do everything at the moment.
Okay.
But that's kind of, there's no reason why it can't. That's just a rollout plan.
Yeah.
But the main difference for me is like it understands the entire context of your website. And once it understands that, then WordPress becomes the source of truth, which is cool. And then it's like we can do many, many creative things with it. Improve your website, get better traffic, all that kind of stuff, which I haven't seen. I've seen different solutions to like bits of it, like building the site. WordPress.com has an AI site builder. Elementor has a site builder, SipWP, and there's some other tools. But this understanding the entirety of your website just takes it to a completely different level.
Yeah.
So
just dwelling on your amazing growth in the sort of the WordPress YouTube space. So you got your own channel and obviously the WordPress YouTube channel, but you spent a long time creating content and being very successful at that, and your subscriber count just kept going up and up and up and up. Do you worry that endeavors like this over time will kind of erode that um, that the need for curiosity and the need to watch videos the likes of which you produce? Or is it just going to be more and more content around how to do stuff with AI as opposed to here's a video on how to create a custom post type?
Yeah, it's going to move from the plumbing to the more, I'm going to say, more exciting creative stuff.
Okay.
As I'm being a bit reductive, but yeah, we won't have to teach people how to add a columns block and size it and, you know, here's a bit snippet of CSS. I think those days have gone.
Yeah, you know, already in the rear view mirror.
Do you know, it's funny, I had this very controversial X post that I was going to post last year and I didn't post it. And I found it the other day in my draft. And it was like, if you think, I didn't post this, but I'm saying it. So is that, that's probably worse.
Fine. There's a whole load of caveats around what you're about to say. Jamie did not say what he's about to say.
Did I say this. It's a good way of saying stuff. Yeah. You say, I never said that. A top developer of mine said this. Yeah. You won't believe it.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Brian Cords said this to me. Yeah. co-signed with Nick Diego.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. I wouldn't let them publish it. And this is what they said. They said, if you think you're going to be paid for writing CSS in a year's time, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Or 2 years' time.
Yeah.
And I didn't post it because I told them, no, guys, that's rage bait. But now I'm like, of course, you know, if you're fiddling around with CSS, sorry, that's not what people aren't going to be paying for those skills.
No.
On a website.
Okay.
They're just not.
So that then leads me down this path, which is to say that if the, like, in a scenario, let's take the example of Squarespace, right? So it's a SaaS platform. Yeah. You log in, you pay your monthly fee, and the whole intent of that is to get in, have no understanding of HTML, CSS, JavaScript, anything, just point, click, drag, publish, and you're off.
Yeah.
But the edifice of WordPress is built on this obviously different foundation, community, people over two decades sort of getting involved and working out how to do the CSS and the HTML and create the platform. Where do we stand if all of those sort of foundational bits which made the community, if they're not really required anymore, are we going to go to a WordCamp in the near future and there'll be like 7 people there, all of whom are just making AI, doing everything with AI?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, is that kind of like, I can't remember the correct expression here, but biting your nose to spite your face or something along those lines? Are we undermining the future of the open source project by rushing headlong into something which it feels to me is going to slowly but surely wick away the community that we've built so many years, that we've spent so many years creating?
Well, there's a pushback on a few things. I don't think everyone that goes to WordCamps is writing CSS.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of business tracks where people are trying to make money out of WordPress. So, and the other thing is, we do have a demographic issue with WordCamps. We do need some slightly younger people to come along. And I think what's difficult at the moment is we can't really see what's over the hill. Like we can just kind of assume that this kind of reductive AI is going to take everything. I think there's so much opportunity to fill. Like, you look at most websites, they're not brilliant, strategically not particularly being used to grow their businesses. So I think, and there's all sorts of incredibly creative, like just 2 hours, I've thought of like 10 incredible use cases that would grow a business. So I think there's going to be all sorts of new fantastic things that we can't imagine yet in terms of what people are going to be strategically be able to do with AI. And all sorts of, you know, we were talking before this started around, if you're a publisher, how are you going to integrate this into your publishing workflow? If you've got teams of people, how are you going to integrate this? You know, all sorts of new interfaces are going to have to be imagined. It's definitely going to be disruptive. What it ends up like, I don't know. But I don't think you can't say, let's not go this route because we want people to be hand scaffolding sites with HTML and CSS, because I don't think that's not tenable for WordPress. That's not the way the world's going to, people aren't going to pay for that.
No, it's very curious. I really genuinely do. So I know I was pretending to be the protagonist earlier. I do have a lot of mixed feelings around this. So this is me authentically speaking. Yeah. I have great excitement because technology, since I was a young child, has been really interesting to me. You know, whenever a new piece of technology came out, I'd be fascinated, take it apart, have a look, see how it works, make sure that I could break it and then fix it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This just seems to be on a very different level. And I think the bit is that it's inside this box that I don't really understand. So when WordPress came along, I could look at all the files and I could see how, okay, that thing follows from this thing and there's this whole hierarchy of things which happen and here's the scaffolding and here's how it works and here's the cascade of what happens when I click publish. I could get all of that. With this, to me, it's just a black hole. I don't really know what the heck's going on inside of it. And because I don't really know what's going on inside of it, the sort of control freak of inside of me is a bit concerned that things might just get away from us. And I think there's an important position for people to occupy there. I think if we all just go for the non-doomer approach and we're just AI pros, that's not healthy. I think we do need doomers amongst us to sort of say, maybe we should put the brakes on over here because, you know, things could get a little bit out of hand here. And, you know, people to watch the economy more broadly and say, do you know what? We lost 1 million people to AI last year. Let's have a think about that. See if that's actually healthy for the wider society. So I hope you understand what I'm saying there. So although I was like, you know, trying to upset your arguments, there is a bit of me which is excited, but there's also a bit of me which says, wait, let's have a think.
Yeah, but I think the only way you can do that is to probably some kind of authoritarian state. And I'm not sure I want you running that state.
I'm not sure I would want to. So you're in luck there.
I'm not sure. I think my point is, I'm not sure you can control it and stop it. I think we do have agency to mold it, though, and you know.
No, you see, I think that argument is a bit fallacious because we've stopped things in the past. Like, you know, every nation on Earth could have nuclear weapons at this point, but when they were invented, somebody turned around and said, "You know what? This is really, there's a potential here for things to go horribly wrong." So let's make it so that all of the component parts, the knowledge in particular, let's put those in boxes and make sure that those boxes never get opened. And let's make sure that the minerals that are needed to make this thing happen are kind of like monitored heavily. And we are where we are. So people stepped in, legislated, made it so that it was difficult for that stuff to leak out. I think you can, but in the realm of just pure knowledge, it's very difficult to imagine.
Yeah, and what are you gonna so your argument would be like, I could come up with some, I don't know how I came across it the other day, it was like how many people in the UK are harmed by this is not a fun stat, but how many by doctors misprescribing medicines.
Yeah,
right. And it's many, and it's extraordinary how many people are harmed by doctors so you're gonna sit there on a platform and say, I want to harm, I'm willing to let these people be harmed because I want to stop stuff. Or how many people die on the roads every year? Are you going to say, I'm happy with 30,000 people dying on the roads, or I'm happy with our productivity levels being really, really poor, or I'm happy with our education as it is, where we're getting, you know, 1 in 2 in 5 children in primary school coming out not learning to read. I mean, is that... Because that,
thing that you just said, there's legislation around it. I can't prescribe medicine because I'm not a doctor. I have to obey the speed limit because we know that if everybody goes at 150 miles an hour, we'll all be dead. So we legislated, we put laws in place that person can give medicine out because they did a medical degree. Those cars can only go at 70 miles an hour because we realize going at any speed we like is insane. That person's not allowed to teach because they don't have the qualifications to teach. We legislated around it. We made it so it's not just a bun fight for everybody.
We do have, legislation that's kind of coming for AI anyway.
Oh, so do it's not we? Completely. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the EU's, I think, talking about that at the moment.
So, yeah,
you know, certain states are, and I think the EU might be the digital backwater that you want to go and, you know, eventually. It sounds like they're your kind of people.
When you say digital backwater in that tone, I know that it's 2-0 Wrigley.
I think what you need is a man. I'm going to write you a manifesto today.
It's called the Luddites Manifesto.
The Luddites. Bring back the Luddites. We're going to go and break all the threshing machines.
Let's end it there. I've enjoyed that, and I hope that you took. I'm sure you did. I'm watching your face the whole time. You took it in the spirit in which it was offered. Maybe it was 2-0 Marsland. Maybe it was 2-0 Wrigley. 1-1. I don't know. Leave us a comment and Jamie Marsland, thank you for debating with me today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Nathan. Oh, that's great.
That was the sound of Jamie falling over.
Okay, that's all we've got for you today. Thanks for listening to that. I hope that you recognise that Jamie did not win that debate. No, honestly, I've no idea what's going to happen. I can only assume that the future will be full of AI, and any curmudgeonly Luddite concerns that I have are going to be swept away in the near future, and our robot overlords will be telling us what to do before the decade is out. Let's hope not. If you would like to comment on that episode, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 462, and leave us a comment there. Both Jamie and I would really appreciate it. Don't forget wpbuilds.com/subscribe to keep in touch. wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more about messaging within the podcast. And that's it for this week. I'm going to fade in some dreadful cheesy music, no doubt made by AI, which is kind of ironic. And I will be back next week with another installment of the podcast. You stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.